All right, Psalm 96 this morning is where we'll be, and good morning to you all again, and again, happy Father's Day to all the fathers, and you know, if we're going to honor our fathers, there's one father that ought to be honored above all, and that's our Heavenly Father, amen? And you know, there's many people in the world today that will talk about God being their father, but it was the same way in Jesus' day. The Pharisees and the religious leaders and those people of his day, they came up to Jesus and they said, we have one father, even God. And he said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. There's a lot of religious people that think they're children of God, but they're not, because they've rejected Christ as their Savior. Oh, they might know about Jesus, but when you get down to brass tacks and you ask them the question, if you died today, you'd go to heaven, they've got 100 reasons why they're good enough and why they're not as bad as somebody else. And they reject the fact that Christ died for them. I mean, if you sit there and you run around and you say that you are a child of God, but somehow you're going to be standing before God, you think you're going to stand before God and say, look what I've done, you're not going to get to heaven that way, because basically you're saying you don't need Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for your sins. You know, God only has one only begotten son, the rest are all adopted. Amen. And the only way that God adopts children is when people put their faith and trust in Christ. And God's Spirit comes to indwell them. That's why Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So if you think you're going to go to heaven because you're a good sort of fella or a good woman or a good child or whatever the case may be, compared to other folks, you might be pretty good. Compared to me, you might be good. I'm not going to argue anything about what you might think about yourself. But if you think that that makes you good enough to go to heaven, that you can earn your way there, then you've rejected the salvation of God. You've rejected the righteousness of God, and you won't go to heaven. And I'm just glad I can call God my Father, not because of anything that I've done, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. That the Spirit of God comes when people trust Christ as their Savior. No other way. Psalm 96 this morning. Psalm 96, O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Shew forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful in all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with His truth. Now, Father, we thank You for this day. And I just pray that You'd help me to be a blessing this morning. Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we're told to worship You in the beauty of holiness. So, Father, I pray you'd help me to be a blessing. Help us to see more and understand more of what worship is. Help us, Father, we thank you, and we thank you for all that you've given. These prayer requests that we brought forward, these folks that are sick and one near death and several battling cancer, and Lord, we just pray for them. A lady with a broken back, and Lord, we just pray for them. We ask that you'd heal them. And Lord, we want to pray for those who are not with us today. We just pray you'd bless them, and if there's any reason that they should be here and they're not providentially hindered, Lord, I just pray you'd work on their hearts that they'd come and join with us. And we thank you for all you've given. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for our fathers that and the things that they did for us, even those that were not godly men, and yet they still did the role of a father, and they taught us the best they could, and they... Lord, we just thank you for them, and Lord, we just pray that you'd bless this nation, that more fathers would be raised up that would be godly men. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Psalm 96. There's a lot to unpack there if we were to go verse by verse, but I'm not going to do that. I want you to look at verse 9. It says, "O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth." He said, "O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We're going to come back to this in a moment. But if you go with me to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 28, you have this psalm, or part of this psalm, repeated. It says, "Give unto the Lord, all ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." And then the actual corresponding psalm to this is over in Psalm 29, and he says, "Give unto the Lord," verse 1, Psalm 29, verse 1, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." So we see that phrase, "worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness," three times in the scripture that God says that. And accompanying it, it says something else. And I just want to kind of give this to you until we get down into this old section. But he says before that, he said, "Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength." How do you give God strength? Well, the Bible says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy" what? "Strength." We give what God's given us back to him. That's something to think about when you talk about worshiping God. How do we give him strength? Well, the only way I can give him strength is to love him with all my might, with all my strength, with everything that I am. I mean, that's the only way I can give him any strength. And I can attribute all that to him. But he says, "O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." How can I, who am a sinner, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness? And this has got to be the first thing if we want to worship God. If we truly want to worship God in the beauty of holiness, we have to be holy. But we're sinners. And we have the command of God. He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And the truth of the matter is, the only holiness that you and I will ever have was purchased on Calvary's cross. Amen. It's the righteousness of Christ, the holiness of Christ. And to worship God and the beauty of holiness means that when we come together, we're here today, and we supposedly came to worship the Lord. And worship isn't just about going to church. But when you go to church, we come with at least the pretense of worshiping the Lord. And the Lord says we should worship Him in the beauty of holiness. And once again, the only way you and I can be holy is by the precious blood of Christ. And as believers, in order to be at all just before God and righteous before God, we have to not only believe on Christ as our Savior, but in a practical sense, we also need to make sure that we're not harboring sin in our life, and if there is any sin, that it's not unconfessed, and we ought to confess it with a heart's desire to forsake it, and we ought to believe God's promise about if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you know, the truth of the matter is, invariably we have that, and there's nothing wrong with this. We have what's called an altar call, where we call unbelievers to repentance and to belief and faith in Christ, right? And we call believers to repentance and to get right with God, to get that sin cleansed and get your heart right with God and get your relationship right with God, right? And humble yourselves and do that. But the truth of the matter is, if we truly want to worship the Lord in holiness, we should be attending to that before we even walk through the door. Amen. Because I don't have any holiness to give God. All I can give back to God is what He's given me. And the only holiness I have, the only righteousness that I have, was purchased for me by the blood of Jesus. And it's His righteousness, not mine. My glory, my hope is to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of God by the faith of Jesus Christ. That's the righteousness I have. That's the holiness I have. And then that positional righteousness that we have, the goal is, by the grace of God, to make it practical holiness, practical righteousness, to incorporate it into our lives. But let's get back to that point about worship. What does worship mean? What does it mean to worship God? What does it mean to worship the Lord? In most times today, we have the idea of worship being a bunch of people that are getting up, singing and hollering. And can you worship God and sing? Yes, you can. But is singing worship? No. No. We have the idea of prayer. And can you worship and pray? By all means, absolutely. But is prayer worship? No, not necessarily. You see, the very word worship, if we were to go and look at what the word worship means, it means to humble yourself, to literally to bow down. To the Lord. It means more. It's more about your relationship with the Lord and understanding about what it means to worship Him. We're here to worship Him today. And to truly worship Him, we got to come here and say, man, we're here to hear God's Word today. And God can and will speak to me. He's promised to do it and he's good, and he's wonderful, and he's magnificent, and he's my Father. He loves me. Therefore, I'm just going to humble myself before him and open my heart. And I'm going to do what he tells me because he is worthy.
Amen.
He is everything he's supposed to be. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Look at what it says in verse 10. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, and it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. When we worship the Lord, what is he saying? Say among the heathen. Tell everybody that the Lord reigneth. That God's in control of this thing. That God reigns. This worship goes outside the walls of the church. It's not a 1 hour sermon or service. It's part of our very life. It's the way we do. It's how we honor. It's when we humble ourselves before God. We get up in the morning. We humble ourselves to say, I need God's Word, so I'm going to read it. I need God's fellowship, so I'm going to pray. I need God's blessing, so I'm going to obey. We started out in the book of Job. If you'll turn to Job chapter 1. Last Sunday afternoon, the afternoon service, we started in Job chapter 1. We'll be in Job chapter 2 this afternoon. But after all the things that happened to Job, it said this. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, naked I came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Look at what he did. He gave unto the Lord the glory to his name. You know, a lot of people don't like that attitude about how could God put Job through this. Job was the most faithful man of his time. How could God put him through that? And we get all up in airs and we don't understand. And that's because that's the truth. We don't understand, but Job did understand. And when all this came through, he recognized the power and the sovereignty of God, and he recognized that none of this would happen unless God had allowed it. And he said, naked came I from my mother's womb. I got in this world, I didn't have anything. I didn't have a shirt to put on my back. It was given to me. My life was given to me. My clothes were given to me. Everything was given to me. And you know what? He said, God brought me through that. He said, when I leave, I can't take anything with me. I can't take anything with me. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave. The Lord taketh away. Hath taken away. I don't know why, but God's in control of this thing. And I don't know why he did this to me. I don't know why I allowed it to happen. But he's in control. He's the creator. I'm the creature. He's the Lord. I'm the servant. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
He worshiped. He got down on his face before God. He took his grief. He took his sorrow. I mean, he tore his clothes. He cast dust on his head, sat down in the dust. We know the story. It's going to get worse, and we'll see that more. But the whole point is, here he is. He gives God the glory due his name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A lot of times we say, oh, the devil's, the devil. Hear more talking about the devil than we do God, don't we? Oh, preacher, the devil's got me down. I don't fight back. Praise the Lord. When we talk about worshiping, quit fussing about the devil. Humble yourself before God. Seek the Lord. I understand it gets rough, and I understand we have an adversary that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But that means, I want you to think about this, and I'm kind of jumping into the next message a little bit, but the bottom line is, if he's seeking whom he may devour, that means he can't chew all of them up. Right? He tried to devour Job, but couldn't do it, could he? I mean, we could look at the life of these people, but we see this idea of worship, and we've got to get back to just old-fashioned worship. Notice what he said. He said, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. Look at that. And look at the message we're supposed to take to the world, to the heathen. The world also shall be established, it shall not be removed. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. We ought to be, in order, part of our worship for the Lord is giving God the glory due his name, not just here amongst ourselves, but out there. When we're going to worship the Lord, we're going to humble ourselves. That means that when we humble ourselves before God, when we bow before God, we claim that he's worthy to be praised, to be adored, to be obeyed. Most of the time, we hear murmuring and complaining, don't we? Isn't that a shame? To hear murmuring and complaining among believers in Jesus Christ, believers that God's going to make everything right. You know, later when we get to the book of Job, Job's going to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Well, we could learn some things about worship, couldn't we? I don't understand why this bad thing has happened in my life. And if you were honest about it, you'd look around and say, bad things are happening to everybody's life. But we don't look at that, do we? We look at it in terms of many times of, I just don't understand why God's allowing this. I don't understand why God's having it. And it's okay to not understand, but it's not okay to badmouth God and lose your faith in him and quit honoring him and quit praising him. By the way, that's the same mistake that Israel made. If you'll turn to the book of Malachi, chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1 is an interesting thing that is said here. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 1, the burden of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau and laid his mountains And his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness, whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. Look at verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? And if I then be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name? And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? And we could go on that, but look at what they're doing. Their answers about their thoughts and everything is like, well, you know, show me, God, how you've loved me. And he mentions choosing Jacob over Esau. And he mentions a lot to say about Esau there in that, and possibly another message sometime. But the bottom line is, when we look at that, he said, I've loved you, and you say, wherein have you loved us? Prove it to us. Always asking God to prove his love. Now think about that. Isn't that the way people are today? Isn't that the way people are today? And many times their attitude is, well, if God loves us, why not? If God loves me, why is this happening? If God loves me, why do you allow that? If God loves me, why do you allow this? And that is just the opposite of worship. Worship acknowledges God for who he is. He says, if I'm a father, where's my honor? If I'm a master, where's my fear? He said, you say that you polluted mine altar. He said, how have we polluted? Because you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. There's no sense in doing the service of God. We don't have to do it in any real way. Church, we would say it today, church doesn't matter anymore today. That's the way a lot of people feel. Church house doesn't mean anything. Well, I don't have to go to church to worship God. That's true. There are people that worship God all the time and they don't have church. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, all by himself in the Isle of Patmos. As far as we know, just him and Jesus showed up. Right? But he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Wasn't watching the football game or out hunting or out golfing or sleeping in or anything like that. I could go on, just whatever you like, whatever people like to do on a Sunday morning rather than gather together and worship. And it doesn't have to be a Sunday, when it might be a Wednesday, might be a Thursday, might be a Friday or a Saturday, whenever God's people are meeting to worship. And you say you're part of a church, but you don't show up, not because you can't, because you won't. It's like, I don't need to do that. That's not important. Well, really? And when we do that, we're saying two things. We're saying God's not important. We're saying the people aren't important. And that's just a shame. But that's the attitude. But yet we claim to worship. Put some music on that makes us feel good, and ooh, I'm worshiping. I got to hop in my step and everything like that. You can hop, skip, and jump. I don't care. But if your heart is not humble before God, if you don't believe that God deserves the glory that you would give Him, and that you, He deserves your obedience, He deserves your humility, He deserves your life. If you don't believe that you've been bought with a price and therefore you're not your own, you can talk about worship all you want to. Like I said, all of those things could be a part of worship, song and prayer, but worship is supposed to be our life because we're supposed to be humble before God. Worship. Genuine worship. Is God getting worship from you today? I mean, it's easy to be thankful and rejoice and worship God, and that's part of it in the sense of when everything's going well, but what if everything's going wrong? You go back in the Old Testament, you see the nation of Israel. They when trouble comes, they turn to God, they cry out to God, God delivers them. And it's not long before He has to raise up another judge to deliver them because they just went on their way and went back and followed the gods of the land, right? Got themselves in bondage, got themselves overrun. God had to discipline them, chase them. And it was serious because people died. You know, and I hate to say it, when we don't obey God, people die. There's a cost to being proud against God. It doesn't just cost us, it costs other people. We don't care about proclaiming His glory among the heathen. We don't care about getting the gospel out. We don't care about any of that type of stuff. And people die and go to hell. Christians die. If you don't believe that Christians die because of sin, you need to read your Bible. Twice in the book of 1 Corinthians, there's talk about somebody possibly dying or people dying because of their sin. Go to the book of Acts, Ananias and Sapphira. Several places where things like that happen, and God is often so merciful to us, isn't He? But the simple fact is, we've got to get to the point where we just simply say, you know what? My purpose is to worship God. I need to humble myself before God. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. What glory does He deserve? Did you come to worship God today? Are you worshiping Him now? Is your heart humbled before Him? Are you ready to obey? Are you cognizant of the fact that He deserves all the glory and praise you can give Him? But genuine praise and glory isn't a matter of us saying it. It's the matter of us meaning it from our very hearts. You know, there's going to come a day where the Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 2 that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and of things in the earth and of things under the earth. Heaven, the earth, hell. Everybody, the devil himself is going to bow the knee and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But we can do it now, can't we? We can bow our knee today and claim and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One day everybody's going to do it. But I can do it today. I can do it in my daily life. I can proclaim Him as who He is. I can honor Him the way I should. And by the way, the Bible says if you'll turn over, when we talk about Jesus, we talk about honoring the Lord. If you'll turn to John chapter 5, in case anybody had any doubt about it, in John chapter 5, in the book of John chapter 5, it says this, it says, verse 20, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things, and himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. There's the reality, there's the truth of it. I'll say this, you cannot worship the Father and not worship Jesus too. So if your idea of Jesus is that He's somehow less than the Father, you're not worshiping the Father at all. If I go to the book of 1 John, it tells me quite a bit in the book of 1 John about that relationship between worshiping the Father and worshiping the Son. He tells us in one place, if I can find the passage that I'm looking for, he says this. He said in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, he said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. He says in verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I could go on and on talking about worship. But true worship puts God right where He belongs. True worship puts God at the head and us at the tail. True worship puts God as the Lord and us as the servant. True worship puts God as the Creator, us as the creature. True worship says that we belong to Him. We're His people, the sheep of His pasture. And He has the right to do with me as He pleases. But He is who He says He is, and I can trust Him. Amen. Through no matter what comes my way, I can trust Him. No matter what the world does, I can trust Him. No matter what He allows, I can trust Him. And because I'm going to trust Him, because I can trust Him, because of who He is, because of he is everything He says He is, that I can trust Him and I will obey Him. Not only will I, but I should. It's right that I obey Him. It's right that I give Him glory and honor. We have a day on Father's Day, and you know, there are people today that are going to be upset because somebody didn't say Happy Father's Day. There'll be mamas that'll be upset at their kids, and they'll dial up the phone and they'll call the children and they'll say, Today is Father's Day. Why did you not call your father? Why didn't you even text him? They did the same thing for Mother's Day and all that kind of days and stuff like that. Why didn't you do that? Yet, people do that to God all the time. He says, my people have forgotten me days without number. You can't worship God one day a week. But too often we forget him 6 days out of the week. Can't do the work of God without worshiping God. I'm just trying to get you to see that worship is deeper than just an action that we do. It's an acknowledging of who God is. It's acknowledging of His worthiness to receive everything that we're supposed to give Him. The glory, the honor, the praise, the obedience. That's real worship. That's the kind of worship we need. God gets that worship when there's revival. Wouldn't it be bad if... Isn't it an amazing thing? And I'll just close with this. Isn't it an amazing thing that we, as believers, have talked about revival and we still talk about revival? Because when we talk about revival, we're acknowledging the fact that we have backslid away from God and we're not worshiping the way He should. And just look at who He is. Look at how He still is there and waiting and willing. You get all the way to the church of Laodicea and Christ is on the outside, but He's still knocking, still waiting. I'm saying all you got to do is hear my voice. Listen. Open up and I'll come in. And I'll feed you. I'll feed you. Boy, we need to get back to just old-fashioned worship. I don't want people to come to the altar because I called you there. I want you to come to the altar because you got something to bring to the Lord. And you're going to humble yourself. But I'd much rather you come to the altar and before you ever get here. Isn't that what you expect of me? That's what you expect of me. You expect me to have already talked to God. You expect me to come up here with the right heart. You expect me to be obedient to God, don't you? And there's nothing wrong with that. You should. But what about you? What about all of us? We're all equal before God, aren't we? Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. I just pray You'd help us to learn to worship in spirit and truth. And in the beauty of holiness, help us to understand that we need to give You the glory that's due Your name. Lord, I'm sure if I spent more time, I could have come up with some better examples and all these type of things. But the bottom line is, Father, we just need to learn to worship You. We need just to humble ourselves and worship. We need to realize that we can't. That we don't have any holiness to worship You in. It's given to us. And Lord, so we need to receive it. Lord, help us to exalt You, not just here today in this message, but help us to exalt You in all things. Lord, in a little while when we sit down to eat and give thanks, help us to truly give thanks, believing that it came from Your hand, and that without You we'd have nothing. Lord, help us to realize and understand. And Father, thank You so much for being so patient with us and so loving and so forgiving. My Father, You deserve every ounce of worship that we could possibly give, and far more. So help us to learn to worship you in the beauty of holiness. Help us to worship you not just here, but every day, everywhere. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.